You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, okay, we are now on Wednesday. We played the camel at the beginning. That means it's hump day. But it's also the day that we bring in others who are more skilled at this than me, and we ping each other with questions and just see what's what. We like to call it the Grand Council. Well, today, I, by the way, I am not calling this the B team. I am calling this the other crew. The other crew has showed up because some kind of lame excuse from Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson about having family conflicts and Christmas parties and whatnot. Like, come on, we don't care about your personal life. Anyway, they're not here. But I got some great ones. I mean, like, I reached out and I found, like, the other A-team, I guess, is where I'm at right now. I'm just pumping y'all up. But here's the deal. I'm going to call the roll right now from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of his own show called Midday Mobile. He actually is the guy who runs the station. That would be Sean Sullivan. Sean Sullivan, are you with us?
Present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. Hang on. Let me call the rest of the roll because sitting over here, I know he's here. Scott Buttram is publisher of the Trustful Tribune. He is sitting right here with me, and he has guest hosted this show before, too. How you doing there, Scott Buttram?
I'm good. Doing a lot better now that I'm in the Right Side studios. My day just elevated, man.
Whoop, whoop. All right. Well, I pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council. Butters, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. But, all right, listen, the Grand Council having been assembled, I'm going to go ahead and defer to the elder statesman in the room. That would be Scott Buttram. Buttram, what is your question for the council? What do you got?
My question for the council. This week, Chris England, I believe he pre-filed a bill that would call for a council to oversee pardons and paroles, because he's not happy with the current pardon and parole board. So my question for the council is, does it get out of committee?
So here, I want to make sure I'm clear. We have a Democrat proposing expansion of government to have a board that oversees a board.
He doesn't like the current outcome, so he wants a new board to oversee the current board and make the decisions on pardons and paroles.
So you have board layers at that point.
Board layers.
Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. So Cam Ward, who is the head of pardons and paroles, served in the Senate with me. I can guarantee you he went screaming to the governor before that bill was even, you know, printed out and said, please don't let this happen. So is it going to happen? I doubt it. Is there a need for reform? Very likely. Cam's going to have to get a grip on some of the stuff happening over there. Let me jump over to our brethren from down Mobile way. What say you, Sean Sullivan?
As we play this board game here, Phil, I would say no. It doesn't make it out. It doesn't make it out of committee. And that would whether Cam Ward spoke to the governor or not. I don't think this makes it out of committee. Who wants to vote on this and have this on their record that, like, we failed so badly with the last one, so we need to have a board to oversee a board? I just don't see any, even if people did it for the wrong reasons, there's no political capital in that.
I would dare say you're right. Plus, I'm pretty sure, like I said, Cam Ward is lobbying hard already. But Buttram, you got feelings on this.
Yeah, I mean, I concur with both of you guys. It never gets out of committee. It's going to die there, which is where it should die. It's a bad idea. It was a bad idea from the beginning. I mean, we're getting accustomed to, if you don't get your way, this participation ribbon generation that's coming up. If you don't get your way, let me go appoint my own board and make my own rules. And again, when England, he goes on social media, he accuses the Pardon and Paroles Board of racism because of the demographics. We all know pardons and paroles are decided on a case-by-case basis. It has nothing to do with race. What did you do? What are you in prison for? What was your sentence? How have you acted since you've been in prison? Yeah. These are the deciding factors.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I am pretty sure that the I'm pretty sure this studio feels about participation trophies like Jeff Poor feels about Taco Casa. So there's that.
Well, Sean, they're getting close, man. They're getting close.
Yeah, man. I don't like the sounds of that.
Yeah. Sean, what kind of question you got for the council? What you got, man?
Okay, so we talk about what would come up in legislative session. So we know gambling's coming. The Harbingers, the Robins have flown. You know, when the state decides, now we're going to start cracking down on the legal gambling of the state, now we're going to do it, that just means that they're trying to limit the competition, you know, when a gambling bill gets through. So my question is, do we see any chance of a separate lottery bill, or are we going to have a version of what Pro Tem Marsh brought two years ago, in that kind of three-headed hydra, that three-headed monster with lottery linked to casino gaming, linked to sports gambling?
Bottom line is that the reason why people always think the legislature won't vote on a lottery bill, the reason why we don't have a lottery in Alabama is because the casino owners constantly demand behind the scenes to be included in any bill that has a potential to be seen as gaming or some type of a game of chance. And they are their own undoing. Are we going to see another omnibus bill? I think we are. I think we're going to see one that tries to link it all together, and then once again, it will kill itself, and the people will, you know, never be in a position to have to vote on it because they're going to wind up. Now, I think they're further along than they were before. I will say that. But I do believe that there's still a whole lot of behind-the-scenes gerrymandering that's going to screw up any opportunity for them to have a clean bill. That's what I'm saying. Not that I'm for it anyway, but I think they're going to wind up having to they're going to have the backroom muckraking going on. Your thoughts on it, Buttram?
If the last 20-plus years history it means anything, then there'll be some attempt. It won't get anywhere. I kind of feel like that's what will happen. I agree with you. When Steve Marshall started shutting down electronic bingo parlors in Birmingham after they've been operating under everybody's nose for years and years and years,
yeah.
You kind of got the feeling they were going to try to knock out the competition from those guys. But there's always a poison pill, right? Every time they put a bill up, there's a poison pill. The last one was going to give the people running these illegal electronic bingo parlors
monopolies.
A monopoly. Who does that? I mean, that's like handing the mob.
Alabama.
Exactly Alabama.
Right. Republicans in Alabama for, that's you it. Know, the monopolies
hey,
for criminals.
Y'all check up on how we are on medical marijuana.
It's going swimmingly, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that going great when we decide that only certain people can participate in the economy instead of saying, hey, you know, you have to meet these standards, get in. Now that we're going to do the same thing with gambling. That should be just perfect.
Yeah, it's going to work out great, too, when they do that with grocery stores and tell you which grocery store you're allowed to have in your community. It's going to work well.
Right.
Maybe y'all could just tell me, when did the conservative platform change to expanding government, picking winners and losers? I mean,
when
I don't
realize
remember
there
any
was money
this.
Attached to it.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you, too, real quickly before I go to my question for the end of this round, is on the gaming thing, I think one of the reasons why you're seeing more arrests, too, is because the mantra has become, well, it's happening, and it's illegal. Therefore, we must regulate it. Therefore, we can keep control of it and tax it. Right. They've been saying that. And my point was, well, you could say that about prostitution. Are you going to say it's illegal? It's out there. We're going to legalize it so we can tax it. What a shameful way of saying this is a good thing.
By the way,
but the problem is, Phil, only a certain number of women would be able to get the contracts, right? For the prostitution.
It could be any minority. Let's not just limit it to women.
Okay.
By the way,
sorry about that, Scott.
The bingo parlors that Marshall shut down about 90 days ago, they're all reopened.
Yeah, probably are.
Most of them were in our area. They're all open.
All right. Last question for the first round before we go to a break. It's going to be a quick one. So, the brand spanking new version of Congressional District 2 in Alabama. Forestry ran a poll. The Forestry Association ran a poll. Dick Brubaker on the Republican side is leading gainfully right now. Like he had like 23%. Next in line was Albritton, I believe, State Senator Albritton, who doesn't even live in the district, but he actually represents a part of it in his state Senate capacity. So Dick Brubaker is way out front right now with good name ID and lots of personal funding. He could fund this thing himself.
He could.
And then Anthony Daniels on the Democrat side appears to be the lead candidate. who lives in Huntsville.
And remind us where District 2 is.
Way down yonder, Montgomery, the Black Belt, the whole area that he doesn't live in, but he says he grew up there in Bullock County. So, by the way, full credit to Buttram, who asked the question during the break, is that going to mean then that they'll quit arguing about Tuberville having a house in Florida? Your thoughts, is it? Were you looking at a Brubaker-Daniels race? What are your thoughts, Buttram?
If we're going by the polling, I think it could be that way. And, you know, you and Jeff, Adele, and I kind of talk a lot on the side. Those are the two that the consensus was would probably rise to the top in both parties. So,
yeah,
I think it'll go down to those two.
Well, this comes down to your area now. Half of Mobile's in CD2. So what are your thoughts there, Sean?
Okay, well, first of all, does it matter where you to live anymore? I mean, you know, we go through the, I guess I grew up with a bad civics class. I kept thinking, oh, you have to live in a district. Nah, you don't. You just have to identify as living in a district. Right? You have to just feel like, you know, I identify. You say, you know, if you're, say, I identify as AL2. But here's the question I have. I think that's fair to say. But the Republican power, I mean, the Democrat power in AL2 is going to be interesting. Looking at like a heat map, and I've seen some of the numbers, but there's a lot of votes in Mobile, and a lot of Democrat votes in Mobile. So it does make me wonder, even maybe if this first time it's too soon, maybe Mobile becomes a player, at least if it goes Democrat. You know, Montgomery's got a lot of votes, but Mobile does as well, and where that push and pull, because right now you've got, like you said, somebody from Huntsville, because Huntsville wants to control everything. So somebody from Huntsville and somebody from Montgomery would be making decisions for somebody living right here in Mobile.
You sound an awful lot like a Florida State fan right now, just to be honest with you.
Yeah, you do. Are you a Seminole?
No, graduate. But I may sue them later. Yeah, I might be a player.
All right, fellas, I got to call round one right now so we can head to a break. We'll take the break right now. We're with Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, and Sean Sullivan from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile. They are the, I think this might be the new grand council. But and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just like making it cool to be a conservative. All right, we're back for round number two of the Grand Council. I think I've enjoyed this more than most. And I'm with right now with Scott Buttram, who's publisher of the Trustful Tribune, live here in studio with us, and Sean Sullivan on the line from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. Buttram, first question, round two, what do you got?
My question is what I've been asking, and my take or my answer to this question, literally nobody agrees with me, but I'm going to throw it out to you guys and see if I'm going to run it up the flagpole and see if anybody salutes. The 2024 presidential election is in our sights. It's upon us. Do Joe Biden and Donald Trump actually appear on the ballot in November of 2024?
No.
Wow.
I'm going to say Joe Biden, no. Donald Trump, yes.
Okay.
I don't think Joe Biden, I think his party is so apoplectic and they're so intent upon maintaining power that they're going to find a way for him to excuse himself, to be excused, to drink the wrong soup, something, and that Kamala is going to realize she needs to spend time with family. So I'm really of the mind that I think right now Trump's legal issues are real.
Yeah.
They're not real in the sense that they're valid. They're just real. And if any one of them gets in the way, then there could be a change. But I think right now, Trump is probably there's nobody in the world who can withstand the things like he can withstand them. I think he's going to grit his way through it and probably make it on the ballot. And at some point, there's going to be a reason why Joe Biden does it. What do you say there about that, Sean?
Well, I mean, seriously, and just to be difficult, so I think both of them are on the ballot. And I want to say this too, Scott, before I get started anymore. I think it's a good time to talk about this. Thank you for having Scott and I on the show today, Phil, because we know that Jeff and Dale are at the Newsom fundraiser. So they're there, and that's why they couldn't be here.
Eating Taco Casa.
No, they wouldn't allow that.
No, that'd
be some kind of fancy thing. The French Laundry version in Alabama. I don't know where it is. But yeah, so you know, with them at the Gavin Newsom fundraiser, you know, you do have to ask this question. This stalking horse race, how much of it is getting designs on what happens in the next presidential cycle, not this one, or how much is the, hey, I'm here, I'm the life raft as soon as Biden steps away? It's easy to say that I don't know, but I don't know. But I look at just the nature of the Democrats so far. If they were really going to do this and push him out, it's going to have to happen soon.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's going to still be Joe Biden. I think they're going to stick with that horse and they're going to run that horse.
I think as of today, I feel like he's gone. But if he makes it to the Iowa caucuses, I think they have to stick with him. I think you're right. Your thoughts real quick, Scott.
Well, Sean's answer is the most common that I get back. My opinion is neither of them will be on the ballot.
Ooh.
I think the case in Florida is going to be problematic for Trump dealing with the documents.
The documents, yeah.
And whether or not he actually asked somebody to try to delete security tapes, I see some of that could be problematic for him, I'm afraid. Mm. I think neither one of them end up there. I think Newsom is running a shadow campaign.
Oh yeah, no
and
doubt.
And Sean, I'll say this: I think they're willing to take Biden out at any point between now and November.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if he starts the campaign.
So they don't think there's any. So I mean, 4 months out, that close?
Yeah, I could see it. And remember, it will be a Democratic Party decision who they put on their ballot.
Okay, but if they do that, then they've literally got a ticket underway with Kamala, and they're stuck with Kamala having to rise to the top of the ticket.
That's
for the most part.
Well, that could be problematic. You're right. I hadn't thought
and
about
then bring
that.
And then bring in Newsom as the VP, and then a year later, she's gone.
let's remember, this is the party of JFK. I'm gonna just leave it right there.
Woo. Okay. The conspiracy theories just being butting out right there on the spot. Well, listen, fellas, we ran that question pretty much all the way to the end. We'll make that a one question round because it was.
Sorry about that, guys.
Buttram does not. So, Sean, the Newsom fundraiser, what you're telling me is that Dale and Jeff are reporting from it or participating in it. What is your bomb here?
They may or may not be at the Newsom front. There may or may not be. I don't know. Neither of them have proven to me that's not where they are. See what I'm saying? Have they proven to you that they're not there?
We cannot confirm or deny.
Well, Jeff claimed it was a family event, so that means he and his wife and kid all went to see Newsom. That's what I'm hearing.
Getting a picture with on Newsom's lap like Santa. Yeah, everybody loves it this time of year.
All right. FM Talk 106.5 on the radio down yonder in Mobile, host of the Midday Mobile Show. And also, by the way, he's the guy that runs the whole station. Sean Sullivan, thank you very much. Scott Buttram.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, buddy.
Good to see you, Sean.
Scott Buttram right here live in studio, publisher of the Trustful Tribune. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by and doing this with us.
Awesome. Appreciate being here.
All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Final half hour, go home time. We'll be right back.